last night.
Did you take a bath?
I did.
Okay, we're ready to go.
I flew.
All right, it is 5:16. I am going to call the meeting to order, and we'll just go around the room and indicate who's here. Audrey Nelson.
Steve Hogan's Finance Director.
Fernando Alvarado.
Julie Osmus.
Andrew Plowman.
And Kathy Schwantes is here in the back. So, thank you. Okay. We have no members of the public here for public comment. And Steve is listed on here. We actually have no action items. The items we're going to talk about tonight are for discussion purposes. And we will go to the first one. Did you guys get your computers to work?
No.
I went
City website?
I went to the city website.
Go to the calendar.
Well, I didn't do that. I went to, it's on the front page, or on the page, and then I went to agendas. And
you found it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you guys were in. You were just sitting so quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple places normally on the city website. You can go to council videos, and you can go that route, and you can get there and get the full packet. And then you can go to the calendar.
Did you go through like Chrome, or did you go through the Internet Explorer? Or?
Some kind of a screen came up that I just put City of Wilmer website.
We'll try it. Something's coming, I think. Google.
The first one we're going to talk about is the 2019 Improvement Schedule Review.
Okay.
The Improvement Schedule Review. And this is the same... this isn't the same document. This is the one you want to talk about. For the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll let Steve take it over here.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, included in your packet were two schedules. The first schedule in there is our general obligation bonds, which is the one funding for the street improvements that were discussed at the council meeting on Tuesday night. What you'll see in that projected calendar is that we pushed this schedule back and will not receive any of the bond proceeds until August. One of the reasons, the main reason we did that was so that we would be able to have any kind of bids in and determine on if and set the bond amount if the council adopts all the projects as were presented by the Public Works Director. We normally would try to have those bond proceeds in June or July so that we could make a contractor's payment, which would be normally due at the end of July. This shouldn't cause a problem just due to cash flows. We can make that payment and still, by the time it comes in with all the other cash flows that we have, we've taken that into consideration. So,
okay.
So it's pushed back, basically, 2 to 3 weeks on the schedule.
Okay.
The second schedule that was included in there is a draft schedule for capital improvement bonds, as it's titled. That is for the City Hall discussion that's taking place. We have been in discussion with the bond council for a number of different schedules and timing of those schedules. We try to time them when there are multiple bond issues at the same time so we can save some costs on issuing and review and official statements and ratings and all those types of things. Since we don't know exactly the timing and if we would need to do anything on the City Hall at this point, the schedule basically will give you the time frame and how long and the actions that will be needed in order to implement something when and if the project and the scope of the project is determined by the council. You'll see that as the very first item on there.
Did we do this last year, Steve?
We discussed it. We had schedules. We had schedules even with the curling facility last year. So these two schedules, we would try to fit in, again, depending on if we do a sales tax issue. There is a lot of decisions that have to be made on the sales tax issue yet. Timing on projects, what projects are going to be bonded for, which ones aren't. But we've had those discussions, and we would try to fit those in. there would be some cost savings in the fact that once we get a rating, we wouldn't have to do another rating for like a sales tax issue, or even if the curling facility were to happen this year. But these two we have set just so that we can have those in place because the discussion's taking place. What the second schedule will do is if the council decides a scope, not in May, but in June, July, or August, it would just move the schedule back. This will give you the length of time and the steps that have to be taken.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I understand the capital improvements for the city hall,
mm-hmm.
Because we're still in that process. But on the bonding for the city streets,
mm-hmm.
I'm not clear on how we are coming up with $6 million.
We're going to go through that.
This
is just telling you what the schedule is. We're going to talk about that too.
Okay.
Whatever the amount is that we're going to bond, this is the schedule that has to be followed. But
got
we have to figure out what that amount is.
Okay.
So.
But no matter the amount, it's the
doesn't
same
matter
schedule.
The amount. It's
the
schedule's
same schedule.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. So. Any other questions on these schedules?
Do you want to talk about the email from Kathy from Springstead? On rates?
Oh, yeah. If there's no other questions on the schedule, I also included in there what the annual debt service payments would be based on different levels of financing and the different rates. So you can kind of see there that on a street project, we normally and historically have always used the 10-year factor. And at a 2.3%, 10 years at $5 million would be $565,000. Now, that's a little higher than what numbers were presented as far as bonding. It's pretty close to what was presented the other night. And so it's going to be slightly less than that. And that's would be what would be required. Now, that's a total bond payment, and that would consist of a combination of special assessments and the community investment fund, historically, of what we've done. The last 28 years, the amount that the community investment fund has been paying is basically a levy that is certified to the county auditor, and when we determine there's enough money in the community investment fund, we decertify that and cancel it out. And so that's where that goes. And we take and know that there's enough money in the community investment fund based on the 10-year amortization of the 10-year program and what the obligations are. Example would be in 19, the total obligations for the 10 years of programs that the city has to pay is $683,000, I think was in the budget. And that's when you have 1 year dropping off and you have 1 year, the new year coming on, you look at that schedule and you determine if there's enough money, and then when the council adopts the levy resolution, in there's a paragraph that says that we are canceling all the levies for our portion of the debt service. So this is just kind of gives you an idea of what annually a person would need to do at those different levels at those different rates. We just had that for example. The next page would be the budget. Where maybe
just, before you go on, Steve, I didn't mean to. Did anybody else have any questions on the information regarding the bond schedule? I know it was being shared with us for information. So, if not, we'll go on to the budget. Sorry, Steve.
Mm-hmm. This budget is the budget that was handed out the other night at the council meeting. You'll see there that we talked a little bit about it's a $6.2 million. From what the engineering feels on the various projects that were listed in the improvement report. Those were the total estimated costs for all of that. In order to finance that level of project, engineering has proposed that $1.1 million is coming from the state under the municipal state aid system. Mm-hmm. And I do have some additional information that is being proposed at the legislative session that we can talk about later in the meeting if you want. They're proposing, some of you may have heard, a $10 per tab and $10 for title. And that's would go directly into this system and distributed to communities for additional MSA money. We get about $1 million a year allotment, and you can advance up to 3 years if you want to accelerate your program, or you can bank up to 1 year of that. So you can do some things there, and those are some of the things that engineering and I are looking at and discussing as far as possibilities. Now, you do have to use that money on state aid streets, and there's a map, and I have a copy along tonight, but and engineering is looking at updating that and reclassifying and maybe shifting some of those around.
Make sure that we don't spend certain money on those state aid qualifying streets.
Yeah.
In case.
Yeah, and those are only the municipal state aid streets. We also have county state aid streets. And so an example would be in the improvement report, 19th Avenue was listed as a proposed project. That's a county state aid street that would be funded through the county state aid system. And then the city as a practice has still assessed that. And so those assessments then are looked at as the total funding availability. As you'll see there in the $1.7 million of assessments. That would be factored in there. You may have some streets and the stub streets, the 12th through 16th, I think, were the stub streets that were looked at. Mm-hmm. The total estimated cost on those were like $2.6 million, but we were only gaining $470,000 in assessments. But what helps offset that is the state aid assessments on 19th. So it's a total overall funding package that we look at. So that would be the state aid portion. There's a small amount from the waste treatment plant, a small amount from the municipal utilities for those types of improvements. And then the federal aid is for a couple of the PATH projects. So that leaves roughly $4.7 million that under this proposal would need to be bonded for. The budget capital improvement program only had $3 million as projected. And so that's where we're looking at how can we fund that gap. Because at $3 million, if we had $1.7 million in assessments on a $3 million project, that means the community investment fund would only have to cover $1.3 million instead of $3 million. And so that's where our discussions are centering right now on the difference and the increase in the amount of recommended projects. Now, a couple of the projects that we mentioned the other night, the Cambridge storm sewer and the stoplights, and those we're also reviewing to see if they still are going to remain in there or how we can fund it, either with the public improvement revolving, which is a temporary, and that gives the council up to 5 years to determine how you want to actually fund it. But those are all the discussions that we're going into right now and will be available once it comes back to the council for the hearing in that report. Questions on that six you had on
nope.
$6 million?
That was good.
Okay. So that's where the difference really kind of lies in. When we had the capital, when it came through the capital improvement process, it was at a much lower level. It was $3 million in bonding and $1 million in municipal state aid dollars in what was submitted. And I think it was $150,000 in local funds. And you'll see there the $150,000 is pretty close to what we had anticipated. The $1.1 is close to the state aid that was submitted. It's the bonding area that...
So there's a difference of about $1.7 million.
Yep. In between what was submitted for the capital improvement and the budgeting process and what when engineering got to doing the work to recommend.
So total additional impact will not be 4.7. The additional impact will be 1.7.
Yes. Yeah, because when we looked at the $3 million and having to amortize $1.3 million because of the difference of the assessments, what the assessments wouldn't cover, that would have fit into our 10-year schedule with the other remaining 9 issues that are still outstanding. Now, that's where the discussion about the decertification of the assessments or the decertification of the levy and cancellation of that levy, all those that are being covered by the Community Investment Fund are certified, but we're canceling them out. Now, the council could decide, okay, we have, you know, another $1.7 million that we have to cover, you could leave some of those, but it would increase the property tax levy. So that's one of the options we're looking at. There is legislation being introduced, I'll just hand this out real quick, at the state level. There's actually three different proposals or legislation being proposed. One is the one of the $10 that I mentioned. The $10 of additional title and surcharges on motor vehicles, that is one. That's separate. That would go into the state aid account distributed to communities. A second one is an amount that would go towards MnDOT to help on local costs for state aid projects. The third one is the one I handed out to you. And that is the one that's being proposed to establish a street improvement district or give cities the authority to do so.
Is this in addition to the gas tax that they're talking about?
Yes. This would be strictly locally funded, locally financed. It just gives basically the authority for the council to fund streets. The stipulation is if a council or if a city establishes this, if it passes, you cannot assess. So it would be basically replacing the assessment side of the program.
Okay.
It would be like a franchise fee or like the $4 only would have to be increased in order to cover.
I just didn't know if the increases that the governor was proposing and talking about, if that was going to go to a state fund, that was then going to go trickle down to the local.
Some of it is, but it's different than this proposal. It's one of the three that I talked about. The $10 surcharge and the $10 title would go to increase the state aid money that go to county state aid and municipal state aid. The other, some of the gas tax would go to fund the cost share assistance account for large and small cities. This here would be totally locally determined and locally billed, collected. It's just basically giving that authority to do it.
Aren't there some cities that are doing a version of this already?
Elk River is actually got what they call a franchise fee, and it's $9 a month. And it has to be used for streets and other improvements. Well, you'll see there, it's all encompassing. It covers storm sewer, it covers water, sewer, streetlights, seal coating, crack sealing, it covers maintenance even.
So everybody's paying that and then they're not being assessed.
Right. Everybody in the community would pay it and you would create what they called...
Is that assessed by per property or...
It would be billed per property. It really wouldn't be an assessment, but it would be you could create one improvement district encompassing the whole city, or you could break it out. And some of the Sean and I looked at it today because this just came out on Tuesday. What we looked at today is we took the state aid map and looked at the different districts that could be created, and they really kind of come down to like neighborhood type districts or divisions by main roads like Business 71, Wilmer Avenue. The county state aid streets is what we could are what we could do, and the thought that we had with each other was that basically those areas are traveling amongst themselves, you know, and then the county state aid street system and the municipal state aid street system would be the dividers, because those would be paid for with those county state aid monies and municipal state aid monies, where the non-laterals or whatever they're called, non-collectors, would be more neighborhood type orientated and paid for from neighborhoods.
Did we talk about this before at a work session or at a city council meeting with that assessment thing?
It has been brought up a couple times.
Okay.
It was discussed somewhat a couple years or as a storm sewer district.
Okay.
I mean that, and in a couple retreats we talked about kind of that. This basically would allow that to be done because those improvements are part of this whole thing.
we talked about this at the retreat, about that assessment.
And the reason I kind of brought it tonight is it relates to the other item on our agenda as far as the assessment policy and the problem areas that we were discussing just a few minutes ago about certain streets. If their addresses don't go on there, you don't get the assessment and those types of things. And so it'll take a lot more work, but it's something that's being proposed on to the legislature. It may be another tool available to the council to consider in our discussion as we move forward. It likely would not replace or be available for this improvement project, but moving forward, it definitely, if passed, would be available for discussion and consideration.
So info for now, see what happens in the legislature.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about when the last local option sales tax sunsetted, what the proposal that you had talked about? I think it's important, at least from an understanding of just looking at the options that maybe we need to consider, because the assessment is not covering the cost.
I believe you all got an email from the mayor on another legislation that's being discussed down at the state level, introduced by Senator Ann Rest, as far as giving general authority to the cities for a sales tax proposal. What Councilman Nelson is talking about is that the Community Investment Fund was established in 1990, 28 years ago. It was established by informally defeasing a number of bond issues. That was when the interest rates were volatile and they had been high, and so assessments had been assessed for 2 percentage points over, and then they started dropping down, and so there was excess money there at that time. And so we copied actually a model out of Minnetonka and created the Community Investment Fund. Community Investment Fund at that time was generating about $400,000 a year, which was covering our 10-year amortization of the debt. Well, as interest rates started rising and as we had started doing more projects, that wasn't enough. And so then the utility fee was established. It first was established at $2 and then eventually was increased to $4. Well, in 2011, Administrator Schmidt at that time and I had proposed to the council, because the local option sales tax was due to expire in 2012 and you have to wait 1 year after a sales tax expires in order to implement a second one or another one, we proposed that could be a third leg to the financing tool for the street program. And then we looked at doing away with special assessments, similar to the two tools that we're talking about now. So this is a possible additional tool. What one has to realize again is that it is an increase in taxes. You can do up to 0.5%. But this in a combination of what we just discussed with this other proposal that's being talked about, could be something with the subsequent policy that we look at as funding our entire program moving forward. But again, this is only a proposal. It's not a given thing. It actually would be, information I've gotten, would be in addition to any special legislation, the one that's being proposed at this point and down there. And would be restricted again to the items that you see or that are listed. So there are a number of things that we're looking at doing. Other things that in relationship to the street program that Sean and I have talked about is this advancing of our MSA. You can advance up to 3 years interest-free. So if you want to do a catch-up, you don't get those allocations in those upcoming years, but you can advance it. Or you can defer it and have 1 year sitting in a bank, and so you can do 2 years worth in 1 year.
Why would we do that?
If you advance it, you would be able to accelerate and do more streets now. Like
probably at a lower cost.
Interest rate.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And one of the things, part of this other discussion, is that he's going to go through and review all the municipal state aid streets. They haven't been updated for at least 5 years. And so old Litchfield Avenue behind Kent's Auto Body and that whole area, that's a municipal state aid street. So we could probably redesignate that to some other more traveled area. And part of this districts that we talked about would be able to be designated as municipal state aid. One of the other items we talked about, and it would take discussions with the county, is right now First Street is a municipal state aid street. 7th Street, all the way from, well, north on County Road 41, where it turns into 7th Street, all the way down to 19th Avenue, I believe, is a county state aid street. It's a county road. And so it terminates there, and then 19th Avenue is a county state aid street up until First Street. So it kind of dead ends. So Sean and I talked about swapping 7th Street for First Street as possibly, one would still be a municipal state aid street, one would be a county state aid street, but the county state aid street would be the one more highly traveled and need of repair. So those are all things that we've had discussions on and continue to work on and may come into play in our recommendations at the hearing for even funding this year's program, but certainly in the future that we look at. So, I mean, those are some of the possibilities that we have available to us to.
Yeah, they're informative at this point.
Yep.
And yeah.
Again, I mean, these are things that we want to watch, and we want to see what happens down at the legislative session. But
Steve, do you want to just go back to the one that you have up there, and maybe just talk a little bit more about how the amount is determined, what can be assessed, and why the assessments aren't covering the costs.
Well, and that discussion might lead us into the assessment policy. There's certain criteria that, but engineering, the process that's used to come up with the projected assessments used to be calculated in the assessing department and got moved to engineering when assessing office went over to the county, in that they look at all the proposed projects that they are recommending, and they look at the front footages of the projects. I mentioned 19th Avenue, which is a county state aid street, and the county is getting funds through their county state aid system to pay for it. But that doesn't eliminate them from being assessed based on past council policy. Any municipal state aid street or county state aid street, even though the city or county gets funding for it, to be equal to all residents of the city, they still get assessed on what a normal residential street would be. And so they take and look at all the front footages, and there are certain criteria in the assessment policy that are used to determine if a parcel is, the front footage is assessed, if it's their address side for one. If it's an irregular lot, they may take the average. Mm-hmm. And those are all things in the assessment policy. If it's a cul-de-sac, they'll take it by unit, things like that.
You said that helps fund the gap for those projects where the assessments don't come near to funding.
Yeah, and I don't know what the circumstances are over on 12th through 16th. That's probably a question better asked of Sean of why so little assessments on those projects, and I'm guessing that they're probably corner lots. Addresses are probably on different, on the avenue sides. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that area of the community, so. But assessing,
there's not a whole lot of houses, and if the ones on the corners, if both of those houses were addressed for the perpendicular road,
mm-hmm.
then you have a bunch of properties
with no front footage to assess. So they go through that, and they have, you know, their plan sheets that they have, and they have what parcels are assessed and what the total front footage is, and that's how they come up with the dollars. Now, it isn't based on their estimated cost. As Sean has talked about before, you have to prove benefit, mm-hmm. and that's one disadvantage of the assessment and that policy. And so they come up with an estimated cost of what a residential lot would be and assign that to the front footages that they have, or accessible front footages that they have. And that's only for the street, curb and gutter. Water and sewer and those items are not included in the assessments, because that's where the Community Investment Fund comes into play and pays for those costs.
I think as we look at this year, at least for me anyway, it when you talk about how are we going to catch up, you know, that streets are a concern, how are we going to get caught up? The formula that we're using really doesn't allow us to expand much beyond. I mean, we've somewhat made a capacity out of because of how we're funding the formulas that we use. So if we're trying to catch up or to do some extra, if something doesn't change at the state level, I think you guys are already working on with how can we do that.
One of the areas that we're confident that would help would be either the advancing or banking and doing more in a year on municipal state aid streets, because those municipal state aid streets, if you do, and you can only do that if you update the system, because you can't have a Old Litchfield Avenue, or I've got a map. I mean, there's a number of 11th Street over here is a municipal state aid street that isn't really utilized anymore. It doesn't go to the stoplight. There's just a number of areas like that that need to be cleaned up. Almost all of the downtown here. And Sean's got some ideas on that and is going to look at that. So if you get that system and do those, so you have your main thoroughfares, you not only can do those main thoroughfares because you've got the state aid and you can advance a year or two, but then you still would assess for some of those. And those assessments then would allow you to pick up some other streets.
Where there is no aid.
Where there isn't as much accessible footage, kind of similar to the stub streets. And so those are things that we are looking at to be able to accelerate the street program. The council could, like I said, always not cancel the levies, but that's an increase in the property tax. That's a negative for that.
Have you calculated, I mean, do you have an example of if you didn't do that, how much the levy would go up?
Well, the 5% levy this year was that, about $250,000? Yeah. I don't remember exactly.
The half percent, you mean?
I think it was a 5% increase on the tax levy.
Okay.
Well, it'd be about $200,000 to $250,000. I don't remember the exact number. But, so, I mean, you can do all or a portion. I mean, those are all options to the council.
But if you think about raising the levy, when you think of how much it costs to do a mile of street, there's no way that we could, I mean, the percentages that we'd have to raise the levy would be very prohibitive to try to do street repairs from increasing the levy.
But the area that we're really looking at is not only the municipal state aid and our ability to advance on that, but working with the county, like on 19th Avenue is an example. I mean, that will be beneficial to the city, because those assessments then allows us to do a larger project in those stub streets for sure. Now there's other projects I know that are coming to light, like the Cambridge mm-hmm. Storm sewer, the water line, and out at now with the utilities on the Y project. There were some areas that we were anticipating some additional revenues that weren't allocated that maybe aren't going to materialize now, the sale of the industrial park land and the balance of the land or dollars that are out there that we're going to look at to help pay that. Public improvement revolving, there's $1 million that the city has always had for, and that was to fund projects like this that come up that miss the budgeting cycle or just aren't available or not known until later, and then that gives the council up to 5 years to figure out where it fits into the budgeting process and everything. That's a valuable tool that we use on a number of projects. Plus the balance in the community investment fund, the principal amount is restricted, but there are some dollars there that can be used that we're looking at as well. And we'll know more of that when we get done with our year-end reconciliation.
What's the principal of that community investment fund?
There's $8 million that's restricted, and I think there was I don't remember on the budgeting. It would be on the budget summary page. I think there was $1 million or something like that was up and above that. And again,
it was just above. I thought it was 1.1 or 1.2.
That sounds right.
And you said that is something that if we went through the steps to meet the requirements of
yep.
how that was set up, could be a possibility that we could use some of that, right?
Yeah, we're looking at that. I mean, there's criteria that was set up, and that's explained also on the budget summary form in that. It had to be in the capital improvement plan. Interest first, if possible. Principal could be used if there's another source that can be paid back later on. I mean, it goes down in that criteria. And then principal only. I mean, and I think it takes 4/5 vote of the council to approve it, using of the principal, which is, I think, super majority, not just 5.
Okay.
So those are all things that are available. And we should be able to, our plan, and we'll look at that at the calendar, is to have the unaudited 18 numbers for our first meeting in April. We plan on having our unaudited year-end 2018 final numbers to this committee the first meeting in April.
Okay.
So we'll talk about those funds. We'll talk about the Public Works Reserve Fund and all those accounts. Now, there will be some general fund reserve accounts that will be freed up with the liability going away on the early retirement program. Historically, that is always factored into the budgeting cycle. Now, the council doesn't have to do that, but that has been the practice, so that then that's given to the mayor to make recommendations in next year's budget. But that, like I say, doesn't have to happen that way. It's just traditionally been that way. So any other questions on the numbers or financing possibilities? Or
the only thing that I was thinking about is the one that we talked about, the question of whether the stoplight on
Highway 40 and 5.
Yeah, that was a requirement of that purchase agreement, and that was a requirement that it be done this year, I believe. And with that purchase agreement going away, question of whether it still should be done. I think Sean, did you indicate Sean was?
Yeah, I would think,
that
well, that, yeah, we that? Had that discussion, but that, I don't know if that's, that'd probably be a Public Works.
Yeah.
Or a council decision on, do you still put that in or do you delay?
Yeah, that? And if it needs to be put in, the question that I asked was, the funds that are being held right now from the industrial park, that stoplight really is a benefit or needs to be done because of the industrial park and even looking at the changes with the Y. So perhaps that could be done and funded with those dollars versus using some street dollars to do that if the, you know, if it's mm-hmm. important to get it, to stay with it and get it done, so.
If it's a benefit to bring somebody in, you know, we don't know that, but.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to turn around and sell the lot, if, I mean, they made it a requirement, so if it's already there, that's one more thing towards, and I think enhancing from the traffic, that. There was a reason why it
I have to
do that.
I have to believe that Magnum would
well,
want it still.
Yeah.
And they're looking, yeah.
When you think of the amount of traffic and even with, you know, the changes that would be with the roundabout, and, you know, with that, there's a lot of traffic on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And so for safety reasons, it probably needs to be done.
Well, there'll be a lot of construction with on the north end and south end.
But it might make sense to look for other
mm-hmm.
funds other than our street dollars mm-hmm. to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And that also can be discussed on our April 4th meeting when we have the industrial park final numbers. Because we had anticipated like $700,000, but that's not going to happen the way it appears. And so maybe some of those dollars can still be allocated either to the water on the Y project or the stoplights on the south end. I believe that there's probably some cost share that's going to happen on the roundabout as well that hasn't been discussed yet at this point.
Hopefully that won't be a major surprise like the utilities.
50-50.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and apparently that utilities discussion took place a long time ago, though. I mean, it was part of the negotiations, so it was a surprise to us. So, any other questions on the financing side of the 2019 improvements schedule? No? All right, we'll move on to the you already talked a little bit about that.
Assessment policy.
Assessment policy, what?
Yeah, I mean, I basically had it on here. One of the items that we had talked about when they had kind of just appointed a chairman to finance and not really had the full committee was to go through various policies. And as you'll see here, this policy hasn't been really touched for 13, 14 years. So it's for your review, and what we will do is just schedule this for a future meeting for comments, and we have no recommendations at this point. We're reviewing it with a number of other things, and so it may be something that would even be delayed until after the legislative session, depending on what happens with the bills that are being proposed down there. So, but we wanted to get it out to you. I noticed it wasn't on the Dropbox for some reason, and so we'll get it out there for that under the policy documents as well.
So,
unless there's questions on it.
Yeah. What we kind of talked about was this is kind of like homework. Make sure that we read it and kind of review it. I think it fits into the discussion we had with what are we going to do with the other. And then it also gets out to the rest of the council, too. And then we're going to put it on the agenda for the next meeting to talk about a little bit more. So, any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay. The next item is to talk about our meeting schedule. And Steve put together some calendar notes.
Yeah, these are just the dates. And you'll notice on here that we basically put our monthly report as the second meeting of the month. That was primary reason for that was just due to being able to close the month and have that. And so you'll notice that there's one meeting that I put no meeting, that's July 4th.
Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to reschedule that. I went through and marked everything. And so we're just having one.
Well, and if you as a committee want to reschedule or something, you'd have to let me know.
Maybe we can think about that one. Maybe we could meet after Public Works on the Wednesday night.
Third.
That's not a good night either. Third isn't. Lots of people are gone that week.
Yeah. A lot of people out of town.
Maybe we need to wait and see. Maybe we have to make that decision in June with whether there's something we have to deal with that. Versus try to schedule something on that week.
What normally, is there something that happens in July or we have to do in July that's going to affect August and September?
July, normally not. The budget process will start, the capital part of the budget process will start in April, and I'll fill these in. I just wanted to give you a basic one for tonight. But we have reporting things. You'll see there the report of outstanding indebtedness. We have different things that we have to meet. Like by June, we have to report to the state auditor all our financials and those types of things. And so I plan on putting some of those items on the schedule so that the committee knows that these are requirements and deadlines that we have to meet. I'll probably fill in the bond schedules once they're more firm. And so you know when action is scheduled to come.
Typically, though, I feel like action items don't happen in the middle or late summer, do they?
Mm-mm.
Not the big ones.
Mm-mm. No, mainly everything is decided by then. I don't remember. I don't think there was anything on the bond schedules, but I can look. July 1st, I think, but nothing. I mean, that's...
Well, Steve is looking. The other thing we talked about is our monthly reports, the financial reports. When we get December's, and also wanting to make sure that we are meeting with the entire council on, we had talked about that once before, about quarterly having finance meetings, but what we talked about is getting the financial report here, and then when we bring it to the council, just taking a little time at the council meeting to review some things.
To have like a presentation style.
Yes, to have a presentation style, but that we could be reviewing it first and bringing it to the council.
That way, if there's any questions or clarifications before it goes to the meeting.
Yeah.
And that if there's ever any questions or something, even before these committee meetings, just ask or give us a call and give us some time to, if we have to research something and you have it prepared for both you and us. I mean, even for a council meeting, if there's something that comes up that you're wondering about, just give us a call and we can give us time to find the answers.
So we'll work on these timelines of when we will receive those reports and get on onto the other, if that's okay.
This is something that I would hope to have every meeting and just have an updated one every meeting so that as things come up, we can schedule them in there. Or if there are certain things, questions that you have or report that you want to see on a certain item, we can just schedule it in there and then everybody would know that this is scheduled and will be available at that time.
That works.
That probably fits in with any requests that people have for additional kinds of things. One of the things that I don't think has been done is like project review. We haven't dealt with some overages on some things, and we'll get back to a regular schedule of trying to deal with those. I'm trying to think of some other things we talked about, Steve.
Any kind of budgetary amendments, example would be the council approved the attorney's contract that was more than what we had budgeted for, but you know, a combination of the two, so it'll be up to staff to monitor as that goes along. Example, with all the snow, we'll be looking at the overtime and the public works side of it and sand and those types of things, and I mean, it's going to have an impact.
Mm-hmm. And water main breaks.
And water main breaks. I mean, there's things that normally it takes through the first quarter of the year before we start looking at things, but with this winter, it may be something that we look at a little sooner.
Okay. This is just kind of a little petty little thing, but when there's a graph like this that's in here, it's not readable.
The one that was in Sean's presentation?
In the packet here for tonight, too.
Yeah.
It's not readable. Blow it up, and it's just, you can't tell if it's a 6, an 8, or a...
It should be sent as a separate or a more of a PDF kind of. I'm not quite sure.
I was saying, however it's being downloaded or...
Yeah.
That looks like a copy of a copy of a copy. Mm.
But it's kind of like that. I mean, we got past the colored documents being scanned as colored documents, but that one is.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, even like on a PowerPoint presentation and stuff, you have to have them so that they're legible.
It's got to be a high resolution to begin with.
Yeah, and so, you know, on a spreadsheet like that, I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you on here you wouldn't even be able to.
Well, the one he had last night was readable.
On here?
That was clear.
When you enlarged it.
He maybe had the Excel spreadsheet.
The problem is
and not a copy of the Excel spreadsheet.
When it goes into the Dropbox, though, I think it is scanned, and so it's different than if it's.
Res it to keep the file smaller? Because if they had to keep it full resolution, it'd be huge files.
But something like this document.
I could have an Excel spreadsheet, and that's probably what he had is his worksheet.
Yeah. It must have, because it was very clear.
Yeah.
Okay. We have Excel. We could actually ask for the Excel.
Well, and that's kind of what I've been doing is I've been downloading it onto a thumb drive so that I can look at the actual documents. And so if there are ones like that, like you say, I could, or somebody could, I don't know how you would be able to send it to, I mean, you could attach it as an Excel file probably. And that be part of the packet. I don't know how the front office would.
That's a question and assignment. It's not just you.
Yeah.
It needs to be dealt with because it comes from different places. So.
Well, I know that we've had those same concerns on the vehicle replacement schedule too. I mean, that Wifel's built, that was like complicated. you can't fit it all in and. And when you have, I know Sean has bigger monitors and bigger screens so that he can see it, and the engineering, they have wider screens so that they can get an Excel spreadsheet in there, and so Andrew probably knows about that.
I don't care how big how big you zoom it, you can't, it's too blurry.
When you zoom it in, it
still can't tell what numbers are.
I'm just trying to think of a possible solutions, I mean, other than maybe a hard copy or something available.
Or you know, you could just send a
Excel spreadsheet.
You could just send a memo that if you're exporting or if you're printing to a PDF, a spreadsheet, do it in a higher resolution instead of a standard screen resolution, which is like 72 DPI.
Yep.
If they do it at like 150 or even 200, then it'll be higher res, which means when we zoom in, it'll be clearer for all of us to see. Or just send it to me and I'll do it.
Hey, you don't have enough to do?
No. I'm looking for extra stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Fill my time during the day.
I would like to hope there's some staff that can figure that out.
So when I go to the Dropbox and zoom in, I can read it.
Really?
But you can't. So you can only, you have to zoom in enough that you can only see the left side of the document. So if you're trying to go across, you can't.
I zoom probably back out, wouldn't even care about that so much as just being able to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if I had to move it.
So you could do it in two pieces if you, but that's not a solution, long-term solution.
Maybe we just get the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And if you print it, you can't.
If the spreadsheet is attached or something like that, you can hide columns and rows and those types of things and kind of look at, you can get the area, and it should be clear. So I'll make a note of that.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Spreadsheet geek, so I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Okay, so our meeting schedule, we need to think about July, and I would think that it'll be the same issue with Public Works, too. All right. We talked about future agenda items a little bit, and anybody have anything else right now? But I would encourage you to think about, and as we look at the reports, kind of things that might be easier to clarify with that. I know as we were talking about reviewing policies, you know, and policies as they relate to our cash balances and some of those types of things, I think would be nice for us to have access to, regular on specific area kind of thing that we can reference. So
yes. I was gonna I don't know if we are at the Public Works Committee, we're concerned about the Cambridge project.
Mm-hmm.
and I would hope that maybe this could be a priority, that could be a priority with this committee, to see if we can't figure out where we're going to get some funding so we don't have to wait the sales tax. You know, I know the money thing is a tricky piece, but I know that this Cambridge project is something that we want to get behind us. And
well, on the timing of the sales tax, what drives if you can use the sales tax money or not is the authorization of the council to sign the document, and that's when the liability becomes to the city. I know engineering and I have had some discussions on that, and that the engineering tech feels that project will probably be done in 2 to 3 weeks once they start the project, because it's going to be directional bore or something like that.
Right.
And so depending on what the spring is like would determine when they could get in there anyway.
Yeah, right.
Did Sean talk to you about whether they could ask for bids before July 1?
Yes.
Can we clarify that?
Yes. And as long as the authorization in the liability is not incurred, and we have a request in just to verify that, but that is the way it's worked in the past. There's no liability to the city, because the city could reject it. And we have a stormwater management plan, and so any of those projects that are in that stormwater management plan are eligible for the local option sales tax.
So we'd be going through that process anyways.
Yep.
As long as we haven't signed the contract and awarded the bid and signed the contract.
Yeah, the design work is not eligible, because that's been signed and occurred and everything already. The actual construction of the project, if the contract is not awarded.
I think the discussion last night was whether or not that would muddy the waters if they...
Advertising if they, for it? Or
yeah. Made that step towards the actual bidding of the work that's going to get done.
My understanding is it, but we've got an inquiry in to verify that.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as we can show that we're moving forward, I think that's the most important thing.
And, you know, last night we went back and looked at the motion, and I think the motion is also an example of, you know, now that we have a finance committee, hopefully we will be getting less of those things that we have to make a decision where we don't know where the money's coming from. That's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I think what we're hoping to do is the checks and balances between the department heads also to say, hey, I'm going to propose this. Where might we be able to come up with the money from? It's still the council's decision to decide that. But when you go back to this one, there was no clarification, you know, that we talked about that last night.
It was very vague.
It was. And, you know, I think everyone's expectations were that this was, we got to get this done right now. And now we're heading to almost a year later in our conversations, and we've never talked about the money with that. So they're crossing T's and dotting I's, and we will get a better idea of what needs to be done. And I think, you know, the concern was that it needs to be done this year. How can we get it done this year? And so see what we can do. Yeah.
No, if it's designed and we can jump into the bid process, though, like Sean said, that's a month in and of itself.
Yeah.
Advertising, taking the bids, opening them, assessing them, whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's a month. So if we can jump on that.
And it's a positive step forward.
For sure.
Yep, yeah.
And again, it, you know, depending on what the spring does, if it's early or if it's late or if it's quick, or
if it doesn't come at all, it doesn't really feel like it's going to.
Yeah.
The other thing that Steve and I talked about is when Sean presented his report, it felt for me it was like we're not starting these till July, the projects, you know, and hoping we can get done in that same year. And some of the things that if we change how we do the funding, or say we did the MSA ones for 2 years. We might be able to be through that process at the time that can, you know, the frost is out, that we could start earlier to be done. And I think that's been talked about as long as I've been on the council, is how can we get these projects through sooner, you know, kind of thing too. And so that I think is another thought process with what do we need to do to get them done, you know, done earlier in the season. Because I know there's been questions about the bidding process with if you're the last one to bid or you're those types of things too.
And where your timeline is, it really does affect the
dollar amounts of bids.
Yeah. I think also what help does Sean need to be able to get those projects done? You know, do we need to contract with someone to assist us with that? It costs more if we wait a year, if we don't have the staff in-house to do it. Are we better off to look at how do we get them done kind of thing?
I don't understand why. How does the county do it? I mean, it isn't like we're reinventing the wheel here. Well, and like you said, that they've been discussing it since you've been on. I'm not understanding how that can't get fixed yet.
I talked to Mel Odens about that too, and the county I think has a 5-year kind of plan. They already make them. He knows what the dollar amounts are going to be. You know, they have a different process in place than what we have here with that. And so I think we're moving in the right direction with that. You know, and I think those are questions we can ask.
I mean, their funding sources, they differ, right? I mean, their funding sources are larger and generally a little bit more stable, more reliable, and can be shifted. I think
they basically do not have to deal with water and sewer and those types of things, where that has to be coordinated with the utilities and those types of things. But having a 5-year program and what streets are going to be done in those, really, and when he was here, and even his assistant after he left, Holly Wilson, there was that, and it just kind of has. They have the ratings, but there's really no list of what streets are going to, you know, be done next year or the year after.
And we used to have it.
Yeah.
But I think when we asked about the ratings, too, I don't think all of our ratings had been
updated
either.
But you come back to staffing
kinds of things, too, because I asked that question of could we contract with someone to do that, and you really can't because it's a in-house knowledge kind of thing is what I was told.
Well, so. Let's not forget that a council can really get in there and screw that up too.
Yeah.
Because if the council, you know, the way that the street programs are or whatever, if I remember correctly, I mean, there were some instances where, you know, you have your rating system and you got your window to repair and keep them. And then if you miss that window, then bump that one on down and wait a bunch more years. But then you're going to have to do a reconstruction. So you have people up here saying, don't do my street, and you listen to
them. Were you on the council when they?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I just remember it.
Yeah.
And then if a council sets a new precedent, I mean, that can really shake up something like a street evaluation program.
But what Steve was talking about, even with our MSA dollars, is if we made a commitment to use 2 years' worth of money, you know, or delayed a year, we could be ready. I mean, there are some steps to do. Either we do a big year and then we don't do a year, or we...
So is that a city administrator working in tangent with the city engineer to get back to that 5 and 10 year plan?
I would say the council could.
Public works, no, the committee structure could. I think that would be a request that could be. I mean, it's no different than if the finance committee would request me to do a 5 year plan of something or other. I mean,
is there a reason that Sean has said he didn't continue to have that 5 year plan like Mel used to have?
Well, I don't think it was only Sean, because there was a gap in there where there wasn't anybody there. And I think since Sean has been here, I mean, the city's been struggling trying to have a full department back there.
Yeah.
Full department, and then keeping up financially, keeping up with the projects. And then
like
when the projects were proposed, then something would happen and get axed. And so it's hard to have a 5 year if you can't even get through the year you're in.
Yeah. I think he was here the year that the project got canceled, too.
Yeah, on 9th and 10th?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It's been kind of a...
Yeah. All right.
Been a lost position,
okay.
So...
Anybody else? Any other...
But if there is items that you want on a future agenda or reports or anything like that, we'll just update this, and that way people can prepare for it and know when it's coming.
Okay.
Any other questions? Andrew? Julie? Fernando?
Thank
Steve?
You.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.